Lucky Charm. It had been raining hard and the roads were more of a red mud track than what I would call a road. As we drove up to the homestead, Mandla explained that he would go first and ask if we could speak with Nogotula. She had a reputation of being one of the best healers in the country. I waited patiently. After a few moments, Mandla returned to the Land Rover and announced, "She will see you now, but you must go alone. I will take you as far as the gate." I announced my presence as instructed by Mandla and then waited. After a short time, a young girl came and led me to the door of a round hut with a grass roof. The little girl spoke to someone inside who said I should enter. I wasn't sure if I should remove my shoes or not, so I did. Nogotula sat upright on a grass mat. She had on a red and yellow print dress with a matching scarf wrapped tightly around her head. She did not offer to shake my hand, but motioned in a firm, loving way towards another mat. After I sat down, Nogotula started the conversation. "I understand you are writing a book." "Yes. More specifically, I'm gathering material which may form the basis of a book." "I see. And what is the goal?" "I have always felt that there are many types of healing and that most of what ails us is spiritual in nature. I come from a country where healing is primarily by material means. I want to learn about other types of healing and, if possible, to see healing take place." Nogotula then looked straight into my eyes and asked, "And do you suffer from illness yourself?" "Not really. I get headaches sometimes." "But aren't your feet tense rather constantly?" "Well, yes, that's true," I said, wondering how she knew. "And you don't feel it's time for you to seek help?" "I hadn't actually thought about it that way." "Sometime in the future you may seek a healer, but this is not your time." Then Nogotula changed the subject, saying, "Are you able to sit quietly for a long period of time?" I thought this was an odd question, but I answered respectfully, explaining that I could. She motioned towards a floor mat to her right and then said, "You may sit over there. You will observe when the next patient comes in. You may not take pictures or write in your notebook while the patient is present. After the patient leaves, you and I will talk and see if further meetings will be possible." A male voice called out from somewhere outside the homestead. Nogotula motioned towards the other mat. I moved to her right and prepared myself to sit quietly. Nogotula called the young girl to guide the visitor inside. Then she struck a match and started burning some leaves in a small clay pot. The fragrance of the burning herbs made me feel relaxed and very peaceful. The young man appeared at the door and then greeted Nogotula. She motioned for him to sit down on the mat, which I had just vacated. He hardly seemed to notice my presence. Nogotula asked what his illness was. The patient answered nervously, "I have many problems. I think someone has bewitched me. I need to remove the curse." Nogotula asked him why he felt this way. He replied, "It's very hard to get up each morning. I cough all the time. My wife wants to take the children and return to her family, and my debts are mounting every month." "Are you prepared to follow a path of healing?" "Yes, I'll do anything. I'm desperate." "When you reach out for help, it is as if you have fallen over a cliff. The person whose hand is near becomes your healer. Eventually you climb up the cliff, and then you must be careful not to fall again. You will trust me for now. You will do exactly as I say. Once you are healed, we will not speak again. Now I will ask you some questions, and you must give me truthful answers to each one of them. If you do not, the healing will not take place. Do you understand?" The man nodded his head. Then Nogatula began a series of questions. "Do you smoke?" "Yes." "Do you drink?" "Yes, but not always." "Are you honest with your wife?" "Well, not always, but most of the time." "Do you exercise?" "Not lately." "How often do you eat fried foods?" "Most nights, and sometimes for lunch." Nogatula paused and then started to sing a song that I did not understand. She opened a small bag, took out a bright red cloth, which she spread on the earthen floor in front of her. Then she took from the bag a number of bones and other items. The rise and fall of her voice was hypnotic. The smell of the burning herbs was getting stronger. The room filled with peace. I began to feel sleepy. She sang louder and then dropped the bones onto the red cloth. A number of unusual sounds came from Nogatula in between the words of the song. Next, Nogatula stood up, walked a few steps, and then opened a covered door. She was still singing and appeared to be in a trance. Inside the cupboard, there were a number of painted stones, each hanging from a white cord. She sang louder and selected one of the stones. She walked slowly back, sat down, stopped singing, and then began speaking as if she were far away. "You must place this around your neck. You must not take it off until you come to see me again. You will return when the moon is in the same position as it is today. You will not eat fried foods more than once a week. You will exercise every day. You will speak nothing but the truth to your wife, no matter how hard it is to do so. You will stop smoking, and you will stop drinking. If you do all that I have told you, your health will improve every day. Any witchcraft that was used against you will have no effect. You may go now." The man placed the cord around his neck and then cradled the small stone in his hand as Nogatula asked him if he would accept the path of healing. He nodded his head, stood up slowly, and then walked out into the sunlight. There was a long pause. I felt a strange sense of peace. The silence continued so long that I was beginning to think that Nogatula had forgotten I was there. After about 5 minutes, she spoke again. She told me if I had questions, she would answer them next time. She said I could leave, but that if I came back in 4 weeks, I would witness what happened to this young man. For some reason, I was unable to speak. I nodded my head slowly, and then with great effort stood up and walked through the small door. The sunlight was almost blinding as I walked towards the Land Rover. Mandla was sitting silently in the front seat. I opened the door, sat down, and then gently closed the door again. We drove away in silence. 4 weeks later, I came back alone. I had a brief talk with Nogatula, and then I sat quietly on the mat to her right. Soon the same man returned. Nogatula asked him how he felt. His voice told most of the story. "I feel much better. The charm you gave me is very powerful. I will wear it all my life." "And how is your wife?" "She is happy now. She promises to stay with me as long as I wear the lucky charm." "And did you do everything I told you to do?" "Yes, all of it." "And did you avoid the things I ask you to avoid?" "Yes. And now when I awake in the morning, I feel rested, and I don't cough anymore." Nogatula closed her eyes and then said something so softly that I couldn't hear it. Then she spoke louder, saying to her patient, "You will not need to come here again. The healing is complete. The man smiled broadly and then asked, If I keep wearing the lucky charm, can I drink again? No, said Nogatula. You must continue on the healing path, and if you do so, your life will be happy and prosperous. The man's smile collapsed a little. Then he sat up straight and said, I have brought a cow to say thank you for the healing. Nogatula nodded her head and said, The children will show you where to put it. After the man left, Nogatula turned to me and spoke softly. I promised you time for questions. Now is the time. Thank you so much for your cooperation, I said. She nodded. How much of the healing is from the lucky charm, and how much of it is from the change in his lifestyle? I asked. Imagine you have fallen down a cliff. Someone puts out his hand to help lift you up. When you've been pulled to safety, do you care which finger was stronger, or do you just thank the person for saving your life? The message was clear. I wanted to offer to pay something for her help. The words came out awkwardly. I've taken much of your time. I would like to offer to pay your standard consultation fee or in some other way to compensate you for your time. I don't have time that belongs to me. My patients, when I heal them, say thank you with whatever they can afford. In your case, you were not seeking to be healed. Without an acceptance of illness, healing is impossible. Without healing, I cannot accept anything from you. But I would like to offer something. Sometime in the future, you will thank the one who heals you. Another patient called from the gate of the homestead. Nogatula glanced towards me and then said I could be excused. I thanked her again and walked to my Land Rover. I pulled onto the now almost dry red mud road. Driving alone, I started singing a song of thanks. I was thankful for finding such good material for my book, and was thankful for parents who gave me an open mind. I thought about health and healing, and I remembered Nogatula's wise words. After about an hour's driving, immersed in these thoughts, I felt my foot began to lighten on the pedal as I started to think over the events of the last month. The deep thoughts seemed to force my foot to relax and release the pressure on the accelerator. The Land Rover slowed to a stop as I realized that since my first visit to Nogatula, I had not suffered from even one headache. I pulled off the road, sat in this quiet stillness, and let the realization sink in that although I had only gone to visit Nogatula to write a story, I received far more. Without asking, I had been healed, and now I needed to offer my thanks. Instinctively, I turned the Land Rover around. The sun was hot now, and the red clay road was smooth under the large rubber tires. As the Land Rover reached full speed, the first clouds of dust rose up and signaled the beginning of yet another cycle of life.